This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble,
really. Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's been an interesting day. It always is, at least somewhat interesting, the Monday after the draft. Can't lie. This draft, rotational defensive linemen, two corners.
Maybe this draft needed the juice Bean gave it this morning.
I'll tell you.
needed an infusion of Bean. Angry Bean.
Angry Bean. Yeah, angry's probably right. He sounded angry. He makes a point, before we get back to calls again, if you're just tuning in, leaving work, this conversation about the merits, the need for a wide receiver have been ongoing for a long time, not just this particular offseason, I mean years, and just whether the Bills have A, made enough of a commitment, B, picked the right guys. I mean, they're always different things. And we had that again this year. It wasn't a draft for me that it ever seemed like this needed to happen. The guys who were projected to be first-round picks went. The Bills were never trading up for a receiver. I mean, if they were ever going to pick one. What you got today was he revealed, maybe he didn't want to, but he got hot and basically said, we don't need a wide receiver. That's not a quote. We don't need a wide receiver. Didn't you watch our games? 30 points a game. That is, you just heard the one clip. That is winning football. And is that surprising? It's maybe surprising that he was so, he got frazzled and he said it. And he, even in the same interview, later went kind of back to the tone of, we looked at it, we talked about it, if we thought the guy was there, we would have taken him, et cetera, et cetera. No. He told you, and they didn't do it, the actions always speak louder, but he told you that that was not their plan, and that they like what they are and who they have. And a lot of people would agree with him. I mean, it is 31 points a game. It's just, as we push it another day forward here, and really, today's story is more about like him kind of losing it on the air, not so much the same debate we have all the time.
Right.
Are the guys they have good enough?
Yeah, and yeah, can they continue to score at the clip that they were scoring at last year? Or, you know, something close to it. You know, another year in this offense, another year without this person in it, this number one receiver. And again, like, there's no confusion here about how you get that guy. The Bills were not going to get a guy that would be that right away in this draft anywhere. Maybe if they had traded up on Thursday, but beyond that, like, you're looking at someone who would be more of a grower with you, which is, I think, totally normal and called for, given the state of their room right now. But I'm mostly about, can you keep doing this? Can you keep scoring at this level? You had a lot of good fortune with turnovers last year, and that's not all accidental. Some of that is a focus on it and attention to it, okay, but still, it was so disproportionate. And that helped them a lot. And, you know, sure, I know they needed help on defense. The turnovers tell part of that story. I mean, the playoff game against Baltimore, the only stops they got were turnovers. That is no way to live. Like, you got to stop some teams sometimes. So, fine, devote your assets. But I felt like going into it, into the offseason, Bean himself, along with the head coach McDermott, kind of sounded the alarm about Coleman and, to a lesser extent, Kincaid. I wasn't sitting here when the season wrap-up news conferences were going on worried about either one of those players. But the way they talked about what they needed them to do more of made me think, like, boy, are they really worried? Because to be public like that, it can be. It doesn't have to be. Maybe it's just brutally, completely honest. Everything's on the table here. But I feel like normally if they're going to say something like that about a player publicly,
it's a strategy.
And in private, it's probably much harsher or direct or whatever. It's just they're more worried about it than they're letting on by even bringing it up, I think. That's my cue. I could be making a mistake in that, I admit. But that was always on my mind through this process about free agency and the draft, trade for a receiver. Are they gonna do it? Do they feel they have the need? Because they're talking like they're talking about their last two first rounders needing, you know, they need more. And, like, I agree. Of course they need more. But how worried are you? How certain are you you're going to get it? And add to that, that once last year with the Everybody Eats and all the T-shirts and all the good tidings Everybody Eats brought, they traded for a guy who had been a number one his entire career in the NFL 6 weeks into the season. So your own actions and words sort of, for me, created the need in a more pronounced way than I think I would have otherwise.
You're saying they might do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people thought the same. I guess I did too. But today, on a normal day from being based on what he'd said previously, it would have been, yeah, I guess the guy wasn't there. I'd be saying that kind of thing today. Mm-hmm. I guess who knows if they would have. But would you not agree he today was like, we would not have. That was the rant. 803-0550. Ian is next. Hi, Ian.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome.
I just want to first, I got 4 points, but I want to explain where I'm coming from. You know,
right.
I'm not.
Do it quick.
Yeah, got it. Okay. I was fine with the draft. A little disappointed. Wide receiver wasn't addressed more than it was. I'm just bothered how Bean did it today. It makes me question him. He says only one football, so many people, but then he says everybody eats. That's really contradictive. He talks about wanting speed every year, but never actually goes for it other than getting some washed-up guys who's never really been relevant on any team to any significance. He goes out and gets Cooper, works out Elijah Moore today, but defends that they're good at wide receiver and doesn't really need to do anything. That's super contradictive. And then he goes and says they have like 30 points a game, but doesn't want to pay Cook, even though he had a big part in that, which is fine. You know, I'm not about that anyway for running back, but you got to have a plan. You know, Matt Collins was your leading receiver, for heaven's sake, for touchdowns, and you didn't even really – you know, do anything to resolve that matter, you know? So those are my issues with it. You know, I'd like to know what you guys think.
Thanks, Ian. It's definitely, I think you'd have to admit, not time to give Bean the L for Cook, right? Nothing has really happened yet.
No.
And you don't want to just pay, you don't want your GM paying players whatever they want.
And yeah, an L for Cook would be giving him $15 million a year, in my opinion.
Yeah. So they didn't draft anybody that would make you think that they're moving in on him. I mean, they didn't literally draft one running back here. So the rest of it, we're kind of saying it all. You know, it's kind of more of the same. Is it contradictory to bring in Elijah Moore when you like your room? I don't want to say that. This was last year, over and over, by the way, when they were bringing in all these different guys who were, you know, at best sort of journeymen or dart throws. I mean, you want to give them credit for trying. Just because he says we like our guys doesn't mean he should never try to get another one. That's kind of the objection in the first place.
Right.
But again, is Elijah Moore good? Is anybody really past Shakir that they have good? Not anybody here on this list. I guess maybe Samuel a little bit, but that's a few years ago, has really proven that. Let's go to Justin next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just touch on offense real quick, and then I really want to get to the head coach and what this draft means to him. But, you know, Josh Allen was MVP last year, but that was really what he did without, not what he did with. He had his lowest total yards passing and total yards touchdowns in the season since 2019. And I think it was the Bulldog who was saying, you know, is this sustainable? I mean, he only had 27 yards passing against Baltimore. So, I mean, you don't really win too many games like that. I mean, I think we lucked into a couple turnovers and things like that as well. But really, you know, apart from the offense, what I want to know is, you know, what's going on and what pressure this places on McDermott, because this really isn't an issue about Kansas City. This in the playoffs, this is about Kansas City, the Bengals. I mean, we gave up, you know, 30 plus of Skylar Thompson and Miami. I'm one to believe that, you know, look, maybe it's a scheme thing. I don't know. But my concern is that, you know, we're talking about, and I think, again, Bulldog brought this up, you know, we're trying to be KC by four. Well, why not just be up by 14? And for me personally, I think Josh Allen honestly could get us to the playoffs with a box of Twinkies at head coach. The question is, how are we going to get beyond that? How are we going to make this Super Bowl? And how are we going to win a Super Bowl? And I love McDermott and his philosophy and everything like that with, you know, keeping the locker room, you know, squared away. But seriously, I have to ask myself, like, dude, we've given you so much stuff and it still isn't enough. And my question is, you know, hey, when do we start asking the question as a head coach who's a defensive guru?
Justin, let me stop you there because you said a lot and we got your point.
The question's been asked for 3 years already.
It's been asked before, but I kind of feel today like it's on notice.
Yeah.
Because he is right. They've poured into the defense. Back-to-back draft picks a few years ago. I mean, all the draft capital, Von Miller, on and on. They have gone after defense almost this entire time, you know, in relative to offense. Of course, you're always drafting for both. And here we are at this sort of maybe tipping point for some. Like, all right, you've lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs 4 years out of five. You got to stop them one of these times. And this is their putting, you know, the fist down. This is their, like, here, Sal's point about Oprah. Here's all of it. Here's another two right. corners, two defensive tackles, edge. Here's just all of it. Make it work. So make it work. The defensive head coach is supposed to, his edge is that you don't need to have all the talent on defense. And, you know, that's been true enough over the years. He made Benford work. And
yeah, it's not for lack of trying, but yeah, they don't have stars right. over there, really.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like they're just perfect and any coach could necessarily
right.
put them, you know, in the top 10. They slipped and it's another year without it. So you're having the Groundhog Day existence here. Here are my chips. And they're challenging me on wide receiver. I'm B now. They're challenging me on wide receiver. All right. Well, look, we did this. Because one of these years, we need to stop these people in January. And if it doesn't happen this year, then what? We'll be looking back at this draft. And, I mean, they're going to be rookies, so who knows. But all year, we're going to be pointing back to this draft. And, like, this was supposed to be...
Yeah.
This was your effort to make that different, so it had better be different.
They really... The last 2 years have happened, so I can't say that they're always doing that because they did draft Kincaid with their first pick and then Coleman, despite two trade downs, with their first pick last year. But it feels to me like they have tried. Neither of those are like we got a number one guy here, right? Coleman was the first pick of the second round, not a blue chip prospect. Kincaid, okay, first tight end. That hopefully that amounts to something for you. But year over year here, they what they just did this weekend, they did in 2020 after losing the AFC title game the first time. That's Rousseau and Basham in that following draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so what I think they really haven't done is try. For a while there, we were like, even when they made those picks in 20, really just got to outscore them. You're not going to get Patrick Mahomes on the ground. You got to build a team that can come back after he comes back on you, right? And we saw that in the 21 playoffs. I mean, they were just trading blows there, and eventually the Bills lost. Still kind of mind-bogglingly how they did it, but they did. They have not really, to me, had a year in the draft where they have done what they've done on defense a couple times, which is load up, right? And that's the draft, that's free agency. The closest you can come is the trade for Diggs. They made that. That was a premium asset and a proven commodity that was immediately going to be getting paid, and you did it. And, oh, lo and behold, you took maybe the biggest step you've taken in this entire operation. From playoff team to, like, contender overnight. So I think a lot of the more receivers is just go back to that well and find your way. Sure, I'd like to give up fewer than 9 yards every offensive play in a playoff game. And I'd like to not have A.J. Klein covering Travis Kelce. And, like, all the list of things, the defensive failings, the points per game in these elimination games have been rancid. You still have an opportunity to score more points than them. Yeah, I can't stop them. I can't stop them. Oh, until the fourth quarter last year in the AFC title game when you stopped them and gave the offense the ball back and they turned it over on downs themselves. I don't think any of that is unfair. That all happened. So they've not gone as hard at offense, probably because of Allen, and Bean today, I think, reveals that he feels like they don't need to. Because it's good enough. But is it? Like, is it unassailable because of their points average? Like, think about how the season's ended and how they've reacted to that defensively different times. This time, 2020. The last 2 years, your offense had the ball with a chance to win the game around the two-minute warning in the playoff games that ultimately cost you your season.
Both games literally the two-minute warning, right? The two-minute warning in Buffalo is when they come out and it's the two incompletions.
Right.
And last year in Kansas City, is it the one play?
It's close to it. I can't remember the time, but it's around. That's why I always say around the two-minute warning.
I want to make sure, but I think the fourth down play is the two-minute warning because I remember part of the argument being like, and you had time to set it up.
Yeah.
Of course, in 13 seconds, they called timeout before both of those plays, giving them, in theory, time to set it up. Wow. Brian is next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. I mean, I guess my point is there's some history here. I mean, Bean is not some 1, 2, 3 level or 3 year kind of GM. He's been here. This is 8 drafts now with Bean. He's taken 9 receivers. What's the average round in which the receiver he takes? 5.2. Oh, but what about Diggs? Yeah, it lowers it to 4.9. So we're waiting to the 5th round to take receivers to support the generational talent that you have at quarterback. You have had all of Allen's 20s. This is why there's urgency, Bean. This is why people are angry. You've had from age 22, this is going to be Allen's 29 year. Are you just entitled to his entire career? McDermott and Bean, this is just the one philosophy? We've seen your philosophy, Bean. I guess that's my point. You've had 8 years. You don't take receiver. You got the big swing for Diggs, yes. And after that, your most successful receiver is what? Shakir, he's going to have 150 targets this year. You have 4 viable wide receivers on the roster right now. You can't afford Curtis Samuel to be hurt. He has to play, and he has to be good. You better hope that Keon Coleman takes a step because he can't separate. It puts more pressure on Allen. What I see is a death by 1,000 cuts type of offense where you've got to squeeze blood from a stone. It's 100% efficiency. Allen can't afford a mistake. He's got to be great to score those points. You got to have no turnovers. It's got to go your way. We see it in the playoffs. Mac Hollins was your number one wide receiver in that playoff game. It's no different than 2019 in Houston when Duke Williams is getting the most targets and your fullback down the field is catching passes. Trent Sherfield, you want to pick a point in between? He's having to catch dives from Allen because you got nobody else. You've rested on your laurels since Diggs, man. It started with Emmanuel Sanders. You want to point the pin where it started for me was Emmanuel Sanders is your number two. He was out of retirement. He wanted to retire. You talked him out of it. And since then, it's been scrubs. Look at the draft history. He takes two type of receivers, a 5'10", 4'5", 4'4'5 kind of guy, or he takes 6'3", 4'5", to 4'6 type players. And they don't pan out. Shorter, Isaiah Hodgins, Gabe Davis. Keep going down the list. Marquez Stevenson. So if you want to get into the names, Crowder in free agency. They're the same type of player. They don't invest in it. So, Bean, you act like there's no history to stand on. You got boat raced in the playoffs by the Bengals. Yeah, in part because of the defense, but in part because Allen has nowhere to go with the ball. And you make it so hard on him. That's what fans are reacting to. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years. It's not fantasy football. You've been at this 8 years, and now McDermott gets more resources. More resources for a coach who's 7-7 in the playoffs, and we're still talking about culture in year 8. We've seen your plan. You're topped out, man. Get it done this year.
Brian. Boom. We haven't mentioned in a while that Bean also mentioned picking Allen this morning in that, you know, heated conversation. And
he kind of led with it, actually. Yeah.
That's something. Like, how long has he been waiting to whip that out? I picked Josh Allen. In no disrespectful way, I have wondered. I wonder how much credit Bean thinks he deserves for that. I mean, he made the pick. So, 2 years went by, and I don't know where we were on that. You know, it's not like out of the box, Allen was just a perfect player. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve credit, just like it's blame when you pick the player, it doesn't work out. You know, it's tied to you. It has to work both ways. It's only fair. But that today was, I picked Josh Allen and you didn't think I should. So how'd I do? Kind of take. And I mean, that's a long time ago. It comes in over the top of like these recent drafts where I can't come back with Elam right now, right?
Because,
interesting thing. Thanks, Brian. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.